insight into the structure and into the problem of adjustment or attunement, as I said, are present in the literary documents as far as the Egyptian 3rd millennium BC. To the same 3rd millennium BC go back also the disturbances of order, personal and social, and the literary expressions of experiences of disorder, as in the development of skepticism with regard to a cosmic order at all, when the daily experience is one of murderous disorder in the streets. As, for instance, in the famous dialogue of a suicide with his soul, which I've analyzed in my study on immortality. Such disorders, if they become, if they congeal into an attitude of an order that is reduced to one's own person without social or cosmic order, and is perhaps not to be found even in one's own person, can in the extreme produce certain existential states of alienation, in which death may appear as the release from a prison or the reconvalescence from the mortal disorder of life, as it did already in the 3rd millennium BC. Practically nothing has changed in the fundamental symbolisms to this day. The categorization of these states of disorder under certain personal and social conditions of destruction of order, however, came fairly late. The concept of alienation, as far as I know, was first created by the Stoics and later extensively used by Plotinus. It means, in the Stoic psychopathology, a state of withdrawal from one's own self as constituted by the tension towards the divine ground of existence. Since the divine ground of existence is, in classic as well as in Stoic philosophy, the logos, or the source of order in this world, the withdrawal from oneself as constituted by disordering force is a withdrawal from reason in existence. The result will then be the use of the reason which man has, after all, for the purpose of justifying the state of existence in the disorder of alienation. So far, already the Stoics had come in the psychopathology of alienation. These categories now can very well be applied to modern ideological phenomena in which the state of alienation and not the state of existence intended towards the divine ground is used as the basis to be systematized into an understanding of reality. The systems of thinkers like Hegel are systematizations of a state of alienation, and therefore inevitably must arrive somewhere, always at the death of God, not because God is dead, but because the divine reason has been rejected to begin with in the egophanic revolt. One cannot revolt against God without revolting against reason, and vice versa. These interpretations of reality on the basis of a deformed existence which is no longer open to the reality of the ground and has to remove the experiences of the ground from any consideration of reality results in typical phenomena. The most important one is, of course, the construction of systems. The system is a distinct modern phenomenon of disorder. Is obscure today in our climate of opinion because the category of system has become so accepted as the mode of thinking in philosophical terms that the reality of philosophizing has been eclipsed. One speaks flatly, without thinking, of a Platonic or Aristotelian system or of a Thomistic system, in spite of the fact that you think of would have raised their hands in horror at the idea that their empirical exploration of reality could ever result in a system. If anything was ever clear to a thinker like Plato, who knew to distinguish between the experiences of being and not being, and acknowledged them both, it was that reality, for better or for worse, was not a system. If, therefore, one construes reality as a system, inevitably one has to falsify reality. One of the important objects of inquiry in a contemporary philosophy of politics would have to be an inventory of the phenomena of falsification, which is a highly important feature in the contemporary disorder. But the resistance against such exploration are of course considerable, because precisely the persons who should engage in such inquiries as a group are the ones who would first have to discard their own thought of a systematic nature as a falsification of reality. And that, of course, they are not inclined to do. Still, the pressure of expanding historical knowledge, both with regard to political history and the history of intellectual and spiritual phenomena, is increasing so strongly that one can reasonably predict, barring major social catastrophes that would bring a totalitarian systematizing sect to power, that the days of the systematizers and their disordering falsification of reality are numbered.